It's December 6th, 2016. And this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, live tonight, coming to you from the Santa Cruz Mountains of California. And we're speaking from Lupin Lodge, where
clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
I'm Errol Strider.
And I'm Michelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight after a four-month hiatus for some good conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises. Our time tonight is sponsored by Bovol, as it has in the past. 100% raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you. And our new sponsor, Jeremy Bead, spirit brother and fellow artist.
Oh, you know, you talked about a hiatus, and I wanted to ask you listeners out there, do you ever been on a hiatus? You know, you can usually catch one, like, you know, if you get started early in the day, they run on a regular schedule, and you can get a hiatus to Baltimore practically. Zip, zip, and you're there, or you can get a hiatus to Stockton, California.
Just by showing the irises of your eyes.
Right. So, this is my question. What have you been hearing lately in terms of the economy, healthcare, political shenanigans, calls for help? Because I hear you is the phrase for tonight.
I hear you.
Progress often starts with really hearing not only each other, but also that still small voice from within, to which I often say, could you speak a little louder, please? I'm hard of inner hearing.
I'm hard of inner hearing. I like that.
Of course, it's one thing to hear and another to listen. So please tune in, because we're going to bring it to you. What can I tell you? I hear you.
I hear you.
What happens to me often is I get very confused. It's amazing that I get through life because it can be so confusing, but
it's
yet.
It's true what he's saying, by the way. It's amazing that he gets through life.
I can put something down and in like 3 seconds, it's like I just put it down and then I'm looking for it.
It's a knee-jerk reaction.
I think so.
Put it down, you immediately look.
The time is getting less and less when I put it down and then where I'm looking for it. It used to be like 4 or 5 seconds. Now it's like second and a half.
Nanosecond.
You know, they're having a special on nanoseconds right now.
Oh, my God. Everything you sell. You're a merchant.
I am. Think about a nanosecond.
It's pretty quick.
Yeah. What I think about a lot is how our life in this flesh compared to what I perceive will be an extended, eternal, ongoing life will be less than a nanosecond.
It's almost like a nanosecond is space between every single word. I mean, every single letter and every single word.
It's really tiny. You have to get tiny to get into it.
I'm tiny.
That's right, you're tiny. But they made us tiny. I mean, human beings are very tiny in relationship to almost anything other than nanoseconds.
And bugs.
Speaking of bugs, we are all interpenetrated by the bug life. As we speak, there's bugs inside our system doing stuff, you know, little symbiotic stuff. And then there's all kinds of little flying and things. And it's just amazing, all the life that's just transparent. But now that brings me to what I've been doing on my hiatus. I've been delving into the whole, like, what's going on in our world, our economy, the healthcare system, history, United States Constitution, who's really in charge. And I've been soaking up and reading books and listening to courses. Noam Chomsky, he's amazing. Another one is Naomi Wolf and her book, The End of America, and the one I'm just reading now, which is Give Me Liberty. And what she, as well as many others, are pointing out that I've been coming across is all these forces that have taken charge, that are basically controlling these very small number of men mostly, this Kaval is what it's called. And if you're listening tonight, Kaval people, which you probably should be because, you know, I'm definitely coming up with a different point of view, the more progressive point of view, radical.
I hear you.
I am such a naive idealist. But talk about the point of view that's the progressive radical that we represent, would you?
I guess one doesn't think about a point of view that you have if it's your point of view and it's a meaningful view as categorized as radical or progressive or anything.
I hear you.
You're seeing something. Hopefully other people see it too. But I see that we're run by fear. Anytime that becomes the contagion in the world that we live in, you have nothing different than what happened during the 1400s, whatever. There was a cabal. The aristocrats, whatever, and everybody else was working for them.
They were shorter. On average, the men were shorter. I would feel tall.
But the same quest for power. And we really try to get power from the external world when we don't know we have it internally. What was that nice thing you said you listened to? It's hard to hear the internal world.
Oh, in my inner, yeah, my inner still voice, right.
I wrote this.
People talk and we listen, but do we really hear anything? And so I wrote, I hear you, but do I really understand you? I hear you because you are so articulate. But do I really understand you? I hear you deeper now than before. I am beginning to understand you. I hear you. My judgments are fragmenting. You are coming into focus. I hear you. I am understanding. Yet there's still so much more.
I hear you. I heard you say my judgments are fragmenting.
Mm-hmm.
I have been with Rochelle when her judgments were like fragmenting. You know, it's like you ever seen a picture go get pixelated and all of a sudden you see the pixels? Well, it's like she has this judgment point of view that this is bad or this is good or I'm bad or I'm worse and whatever. And then I see when she's willing to let it go, it just kind of pixelates and then disappears. So this is good.
Yeah, I think it's good.
But here's the quandary that I'm in, the challenge. Okay, so I've gone along, as you know, this kind of naive, spiritually oriented, idealist, innocent, you know, and cultivating years of this deep inner life. And then now, in the last 4 months, I look out in a world that is very extreme. I mean, it's just like polarizing so intensely right now. And there's this part of me that would like, if I could do something about it, I'm available to do something about it. But it's always juxtaposed against this other phenomenon, which is my belief and my awareness that duality doesn't exist, so there is no other over there. There's a different aspect of myself, like that worm that you sing about. Can you remember that?
Can I do remember it.
You want to sing it?
Oh, God, I don't know why. The earth was warm with the dew of the dawn as the warm scented air swept over the lawn. A big fat worm came out of the ground to see the world and look around. And as he gazed at the azure sky, another little worm came up nearby. "Oh, oh," said he with a wiggle, "you're a cute little worm. Let's you and I go out for a squirm." But the cute little worm just shook its head, and to that big fat worm it said, "No rendezvous between us two. 'Cause I'm the other end of you."
I hear you. I love that little poem. It just takes me back to my first sexual experience.
Oh my God! I'm afraid to find out how that relates.
Okay, so back to this thing that is challenging me and caused me to obsess, and I think it's made me tired. When you immerse yourself in that
degree of how the world is dark and all the ways in which it's dark and painful and misguided and cruel and irresponsible and dominating and greedifying and, as you say, of course, all driven by fear. But you tend to, if you have compassion, and if you, at least for me, I have been awakened to a context, a greater context in which I find myself, which is this essential being, call it God, spirit. I mean, you can't really call it anything. You just can just kind of abide there, and it's got, you kind of slosh around in it, and it sloshes through you. It's a double slosh whammy.
Double slosh.
No, really.
Well, all right. That's so, definition 497 of God.
Right.
A sloshing entity.
Right. Because it's all about interpenetration. So then I go from these extremes. I'm like, this is all the craziness in the world. And then I come way back over here. I've been rereading Teilhard de Chardin, who, the French Jesuit scientist, mystic, amazing philosopher. But he keeps presenting me this world about synthesis. He says, the soul is synthesis, mind is synthesis. So there's these two forces. One is the synthesizing force moving toward a wholeness, and the other is the splintering, like those judgments of yours, splintering, scattering phenomena, you know, opposed to other aspects of itself in a very intense way. Enemies, hate, fear, and it's just clashing still, and it hasn't stopped doing that. It took a little sort of, well, it never took a break. Just some people were able to.
There is no break in it. I mean, because it falls out into new images. But it's all the same. It's a constant grabbing for power. And the power is very elusive because you can never get enough of it. Because it's not real, the kind of power that people think that they want, that will give them what they think they want, they're not getting, or they get for a short period of time.
I hear you.
Right?
Yeah.
It's elusive.
It makes me think of a solution that occurred to me right now, and it came from this insight that I had that I just revisited about a week ago, and the concept in mostly one line is this, that we have a natural impulse towards more. If nothing, if the universe is expanding, it may contract, but right now we're on the expanding cycle. More, there's this impulse toward more. Now, that's been planted in us, but since it came with in a package of free will through USPS, by the way, it's amazing how they did that. But hey, what do I know? God works miracles. And so we got this free will and we got this impulse to more, but there's two ways to go after the more. One is from the position that I think I'm separate from everything else, so that means I have to go after it, which means I have to go get it. It's over there or back then. Now, that's the fear-based, separated-based more version thing. On the other side is the more that comes from source, and its impulse is more, and it invites you to share more of yourself, to give out more and more of you, to let you expand by your love and allow the love that's who you are, fundamentally, that's who we are, allow it to just start being more everywhere. And by golly, you get a bunch of folks doing that around the world right now.
There'll be more folks.
There'll be yeah, I hear you. More folks. Yep. So for you folks out there, this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth. And in talking about this thing, this craziness, where you got, first of all, you got this domination by the security state, and then you got the global climate change, and you know, and that's just like impending, and then you got these multinational corporations, you know, kind of like sucking up all the energy.
Yeah, who are only interested in, does it bring a profit? So if they could get climate change what's happening, the forces that are happening right now, if they could make it pay, they would acknowledge it. Just like I read a headline in the newspaper in California where we live, the Chronicle, that talked about the huge profit from the legalization of marijuana that is about to occur in the California state. I mean, they're going to make billions and billions of dollars, if not trillions, as a result of legalizing it. And when corporations see that, you know, believe it or not, federally it will be also legal, because a lot of people are going to make money.
Yes, inevitably. So here's the hit of it, though. Here's some ideas that I've come up with. Let's start with one in particular as a way of moving the energy in the opposite direction, away from resistance and fragmentation and war, and toward union and synthesis and harmony and the release of energy that comes from that. So it starts with this: money, currency. This thing about money, but let's go back to what money is. It's just symbols, just pieces of paper, and
coins.
And coins, but let's just talk about the paper.
Okay.
Let's not get into the coins. Okay, keep the change.
Thank you.
And what is it? It's a piece of paper. And what's on a piece of paper? Well, it says this represents so much value, and we promise that it does. It's a promissory note. And so you carry it around. Everybody agrees that these promissory notes stand for something that has value. Now, what's curious, though, is that several years ago, I think it was with Roosevelt, they'd stopped having gold be the standard. And it was shortly after the Federal Reserve got started in 1913, whatever, so it's within a 20-year cycle. The Federal Reserve just prints the money, and out of nothing. So,
paper.
That's it. It's worth the paper, and that's not cheap paper, because it's got all those little doodads in it to keep mm-hmm. you from making your own version.
It's become much more valuable, actually. There's yeah. more money in it than ever before.
And add to that, I'm watching another video I'm in the middle of about income tax itself, and that there's no law. It's a fascinating video about that. If you want to know more, let me know. There's no law to for income tax.
There's no law that says you have to pay income tax?
That's right. Thank you. That's right. It's From Freedom to Fascism. That's the name of this documentary, and I'm about 40 minutes into it. But I'm certainly persuaded by all the people that he brought on, ex-IRS agents and this, that, and the other. And when they try to confront the IRS, are you listening, Cabal? Cabal! When they try to confront, they never came through. They kept asking, show us the law. And they couldn't. They even went to the top ex-commissioner of it or whatever, and there's no law. That's the bottom. He couldn't show it. There is no law.
So what is happening to you as a result of all this? I know when one immerses themselves into a point of view, or many points of view that really say one point of view, is like, you are being screwed. People, hey, people, you're being screwed, you know, and you don't know it. And you're all, like I told someone once, they were a slave to consumerism. And her answer was, yes, but a happy slave. So if you keep your slaves happy, you'll get more productivity out of them. And we are all slaves to consumerism. I mean, that's the bottom line there. It goes back to it all the time.
It really does. It's like, that's what we do, this consumerism. But this idea that I had is if we could form a new agreement. Because I thought, what is the essential thing that is being exchanged before you put form on it? You know, turn it into a pig and then into a pork chop, for example. You know, before that, it's organized energy, right? It's energy. That's what we all want. And if you look at the world right now, what's one of the major, if not the major source of energy, and what's causing all the harm on the planet, which is fossil fuels from burning coal, oil, et cetera, et cetera, and to come up with energy. So fundamentally, the challenge is, and the Oh, let me back up. The way we've gone about
fighting, I didn't know you had gotten away.
Ah, I hear you.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was going the other way.
Keep going, Errol.
Oh, okay. And where was it? Well, the energy. What's backing the energy? And so I asked myself, well, is the fundamental way energy comes about? Well, on this planet, in this solar system, anyway, it's light. Light. And what is light? Well, it's not a thing. It's moving. It's a dynamic process. Comes about as a result of fusion. And what is fusion? That's when, like, these two hydrogen atoms actually, in spite of their desire to separate from each other, because they're both positively charged, like cats, you know, get over there. It actually is forced to fuse by the intense temperatures and pressures inside it, or something like that. And so fusion becomes the metaphor for our opportunity. As we can start joining center to center, two by two by two, we are going to form the new paradigm reality that will be life-enhancing.
I hear you.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
What'd you hear? Let me hear it back.
I heard that fusion is the metaphor for the future.
Okay.
To bring about love on the planet.
Yeah.
We have to do it through fusion because there's no other way it can be done.
But here's the...
I mean, in anything, you have to join with. You have to come into union with other.
Mm-hmm.
There's you, there's other. And that's a huge array of others. Other.
Don't forget that worm. See, that's you got to keep in mind. It just looks
right.
Like other.
Right. Right. But what I'm talking about in terms of having fusion, you have to come into union with something. Right?
Well, that's why they gave us this illusion of duality, to recreate union over and over and over again, because the source is union. It is, and it loves being unified.
And every child that's born comes from that.
Every cell that's born comes from
that. So it is life's force, and you cannot do anything to deny life's force. That's the biggest illusion of all, is that anybody could think that they could own it, harness it, make it work against union itself. Because you can't dissolve that which is indissoluble. Indissoluble?
Wow. Indissoluble.
Yeah, well, that's good, too. I like that.
Yeah.
Can I take just a moment for a little bit of a commercial here?
Oh, yeah. Cool.
We have a new sponsor. And our sponsor, Jerry Bead, Spirit Brother. Jeremy Bead. I used to know him as Jerry. Yeah. Jeremy Bead, Spirit Brother and fellow artist. And his art is with wood. And he made us a rattle when our first son was born that is so beautiful. And it broke once. And another
was made out of wood and bone.
Oh, just absolutely gorgeous. Anyway, so we loved it. Loved it. Just the feeling of it. It's tactile as well as beautiful to look at. Anyway, it broke. We sent it to him and told him it broke, and we were very sad. And how many years? 10 years, maybe?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, he came and visited us this summer, and he presented us with a newly born rattle. He took the old rattle, and he worked it, and he fixed it, and made it even more beautiful.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to thank you for caring enough about us to be part of our show.
So there's art, see? And there's the same dynamic we're talking about, which is embracing what shows up. With artists, like Jerry and ourselves and all artists, it's very intentional. We have a medium and we seek out what we want to create art about. And we go look at the tree or write down the music or whatever we do. But it's still about engaging and moving toward and embracing what shows up. And then the artist turns it into art. And we're all asked to be artists in the sense, because no matter what shows up, your worst nightmare, but for most of us, it's not that bad. You know, it's just, you know, who gets elected for president and things like that for some people. But we're not going to be talking about those people right now. But it does raise an interesting question. whatever else it is, I feel it's our separation craziness that drives the culture, put into Noam Chomsky just calls him a clown. We have a clown as president, if that's so. But I think it's pointing out our ridiculous stupidity. And that's the other solution. No matter what happens, we can always find laughter. If there's one other person with you, you can find laughter, because believe me, they got things about themselves that if you knew, you'd be on the floor laughing.
You know, a friend of mine pulls out quotes and puts them on a board here, and she put out this quote by Mark Twain that the thing that humans have that's so wonderful is laughter. That we find humor in all of life. And I was with a woman today, and we were talking about things that, you know, are not so wonderful. And I said, you know, everyone, to every person at least once in their life, if not many, many more, things are going to happen that are uncomfortable. And it's not about the thing that happens. It's about how we deal with it that matters. And that's the measure of a human being, is how you deal with it. Do you deal with it out of love? Do you deal with it out of fear? Do you deal with it by expanding your being to encompass that? Or do you deal with it by shrinking your being to push off that?
Or, I hear you, by the way, or do you do it by shopping? Let me recommend shopping. Shopping
is very, very peaceful shopping.
Oh, you don't need to be reminded of shopping. Oh, guess who's here tonight? Professor Schnitzel.
Oh, Professor
Schnitzel. Oh, my God, we were just the two of us here. I'm so glad you... Yeah, I was coming here. I was late because the wind... I was trying a new car that's wind-driven. Don't you put a fan just behind the propeller, and it runs off the engine. But, of course, the engine is running off the propeller, which is running off the fan. Which, so the car doesn't actually go anywhere.
Please, you made me laugh.
But it's a great idea, and someday it will work. So what's happening, Bri? You've got all this craziness that's happening in the world. You're talking about the economy and the powers that be, and the powers that used to be, and the powers that want to be. There's a whole bunch of different kinds of powers. Not just the be powers, just the want to be powers. And so, but there is also this other phenomenon of technology and science and what it's bringing about and all the effects of it and how it's moving faster than we can move here. And they're talking like people, internet and interwebnet. There is a new thing now, the interwebnet. It's a double of the old
thing. Oh, my God. Can't go with you there. That's too crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, but and we would like to suggest that as the technology matures, hopefully the human race will mature along with it. Otherwise, the technology can be turned to things like the atom bomb. We are not so far off from nuclear fisticuffs, if I can use that term. As Noam Chomsky said, he thinks it's a miracle that we have not had nuclear exchange in the 70 years or whatever when he made the interview. But we are in up, what's kind of creek as they call it in America?
There's a certain, up the creek.
Oh, up the creek.
I hear you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Professor. Wow, yeah, the technology, that's
But
such
I just got in touch with somebody when he was saying that, because remember we used to do workshops and we'd say, not workshops, but meetings with a group of people to arrive at the truth that belonged to everybody, and we'd always start with the need, let the need lead.
Yeah.
And that's the truth of how we exist as human beings. When we have a need, we fill it. And we, you know, I'm sure they didn't come up with a ladder until they wanted to get something that was beyond their reach.
They had come up with it, but at first it was sideways. It was then when the reaching impulse came up, they thought, we already have a ladder. All we have to put it is vertical.
See?
But they already had the ladder. They used it for kind of a practice going from ring to ring sideways.
Let's try to stop. But we do. You see, I do believe that that's true. You know, we have a need. We look at something and go, I need to do this in order to fulfill that. And you have to look it right in the face. It's sort of like when you paint a portrait, you're looking at a face to paint the portrait. And you, when you look at it and you realize there's planes and, oh, you find whole bunches of things in it when you really not just hear it, but you look at it.
I really hear you. I want to say I look at it with you, but I hear you.
Really look at it.
But you talked about the tools that we use, and I would recommend these tools to any of the groupings that need to start forming, that you have, because these tools that we used in our group, it kind of clears the space, and it drops the ego and moves people into a conjoint relationship with each other. Remember, the first one is, they all start with willing to be honest, was the first one.
I hear you.
And then the next one, this is the one I was just thinking about, was willing to state your need. And the third,
willing to let go of any and all positions that divide you or separate you, and together reach a new decision to bring you into union.
That was Rochelle's extended version of it. That was the long playing version. I'll give you my short version of it. Willing to get off your position. But her additions...
Well, they came up... My additions came out of working with young couples who were about to be married and marrying them. And I gave them these... what do you call them? Recipes for a good relationship, I think of it.
Works for me.
And so I added things to them to make it more palatable. You know, that it wasn't just an abstract idea. It was something they could really engage in and do. Like I would say to them, you know, you're willing to state your needs because marriage does not make you mind readers. You don't know what the other person needs until you ask or you ask for it.
I hear you.
Oh, I'm so glad.
But it makes me think of the other thing is to express your needs. That was specifically in response to not your anger, not your expectation, not your judgment, that underneath all of those things, when they start to come up, if you can catch yourself, or even if you catch yourself after it's happened and you get closer to catching yourself when it happens, that you catch yourself going into this twisting a need into some kind of distorted emotional outburst. Because it's covered over, but if you take any anger or outburst or attack, or there's a need in there that's crying out.
In my simplicity, I believe we all need to be appreciated. We all need to be seen, heard, and appreciated. That's what we need, fundamentally. And then it takes, you know, like everything else, you dress it up. It takes on various forms and ideologies and all that stuff. But we want to be seen, we want to be heard, and we want to be, definitely want to be appreciated. And without those things, you can shrink into, you can get depressed and feel very unloved.
You can. Just the other day I was thinking, what would be hell? And I thought, to go through infinity alone. Wow. That was a scary thought.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And what made it worse is they give you a telephone.
I don't get that.
Never mind. It was not something you want to get. If you're a go-getter, you might think of going to get that. But if you're just a getter and you stop at getting, don't even think about it.
You know, there was a really horrible fire in Oakland, which is not too far from where we live, and it took place in an artist's sort of commune. A number of artists lived in this place and did their art there, and they were having a performance art. There were about 70 people, and a fire broke out, and this, half the people died. But on the radio today, this woman was, talking to people because they had a need to express themselves, and so this, she gave them a forum. And one of the things one said was, when you're together with other artists and you're an artist and you bounce ideas off each other, you also feel validated. You can feel appreciated, you know, and it's because you're all in this together. And I thought, you know, that was a very beautiful testimony to being with fellow followers of something that you all agree on, that you all like to do together. This is why we come together, called fellowship, but if we want to be generic, it's called what? Peopleship.
Girls can be good fellows, can't they?
Not really. Hey. Only in a patronizing world.
What about it? Come on, you can be a good
but
fellow.
But whatever it is, the feeling of that word, not necessarily the actual word itself, but the feeling of that word is very important to groups. You see, young people, they come together in little...
Which word?
Fellowship.
Right.
What it means, you know, there's a sense of community in that word.
Right.
There's a sense of that we're together in this. We can do this together. That you're not alone. So, in that sense, it's more heavenly than hell.
I'm reminded of what Yeshua says in the book Keys of Yeshua, Jesus, and he talks about history. I mean, story, and how. We're all living stories. It even says, I think, one point is hell is being trapped by your story.
Oh, that's interesting, being trapped by your story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trapped in your story.
You know, if you think about how what we love so much, us humans on this planet.
Stories.
Movies, stories. And we've turned stories into movies, you know, plays and things like that. But they go by. They don't stop. And our life is the same way. It goes by. It doesn't really stop at any point. We try sometimes to hold on to things, you know, but we can't, and it just goes on by. And to me, the sense of peace for me is not resisting that. It's going by, not resisting the going by, you know, that it's moving.
Bye. Bye-bye. Chill with bye. Bye. Bye-bye.
He's a silly person.
Like our granddaughter.
Oh, she says hi and bye to everything.
When you went into the toilet, didn't you?
Yeah, I had to go to the bathroom, so she came with me. I was very discreet and everything.
She's 23, by the way.
She's 21 at this point. And then I flushed the toilet, and she looked at it and said, bye-bye.
So that was that was the 15-year-old.
I found it very funny, but I think you had to be there, and you had to love her the way
we don't talk a lot about it, but the things that come out of your body, you know, are a big part of your life. You know, we don't talk about it because it's, well, you know.
Oh, because we've decided it's disgusting.
Well, a lot of it is, actually. Yeah.
Well, it's only disgusting in the sense that we deem it to be disgusting.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to go anywhere further though. Track.
I hear you.
Okay. Forget it. Yeah. I want to come back to this opportunity that we have here in the face of this breakdown. See, to me, the age that we're coming out of, which I've said before, is characterized by two words: not enough.
Oh.
Hey, think about it. This whole crazy dysfunctional age was driven by not enough, which was the reverse side of the more impulse. The next stage that we're coming into, another two words, enough already. With the not enough. We've done not enough. Enough already. Can't you see that the universe is infinite and full and robust and abundant? One of the other things Yeshua says about that, he talks in this book about the belief in scarcity and how it just gets invented to help those to skim off the top. He says, how can you look out at life and the universe and think that there's actual scarcity? I mean, it's just always abundant. Scarcity is a concept invented by people who want to get your money, basically.
Who want to enslave you.
Yeah.
Who want to enslave you, exactly. And we have to be free, one has to be free first and foremost within themselves.
Say more about that so I can see I hear you.
When I feel that I am, I don't have to prove myself, I don't have to get anything from you to know that I exist, and that I can give you everything I am as a result of the fact that I know I exist. I know I am a source of love, and so, and it never runs out, so I can just keep loving you.
When I
have that space, did you hear me?
Say it again.
Oh, no, I could never say it again. What's this?
When I have that space, you're about to
When
say.
I have that, when I'm in that space, you know, it's so peaceful. There's no anxiety. There's no need to prove anything. It's just what it is. And things come out of my mouth, and things, my actions are reflection of that. They just, you know, they're just different. I feel very grateful when I'm in that state. And of course, my quest is to be in that state more and more and more and more and more and more and more, because more is what we're after.
That was 7.5 mores, in case you were not counting. I was.
It's not enough. It's not enough. I want more. I want more.
We usually have, she only gets, you know, how many mores you want. I mean, more, 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 more. More, I mean, at what point do you stop moring?
When you no longer feel you have to have more.
I wish I could play some music for you all tonight. You notice we're not playing music because for some reason it just didn't come through tonight. It was just being a kind of recalcitrant little self on that great music. So it thrust Rochelle and I into just an evening of just talking to each other.
Which is wonderful. At least once a week I get to talk to you. Really have a wonderful conversation.
So here's
actually we have lots of good.
Here's the next movie I'm going to watch as I immerse myself more fully in this darkness called Corporate Fascism, the Destruction of America's Middle. So I mean, this all is, I think, happening to us, but it is our opportunity to become, to reform ourselves, and to begin to move out into the world through union, forming unions, two by two by two. It's very, I started to say it's simple. It's simple. It's very challenging. But the challenge is the because it's worth so much. Like Yeshua said, it's the pearl of great price. Once you get how rich and powerful and poignant is union, you're going to go for a union first things first.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I absolutely hear you. Yes, because union is from that from which all new things come. And we are creative beings, and because we're creative beings, we have to understand union within ourselves so that we can constantly create.
We have fewer labor unions now than we used to, and that's because one of the things this fascist regime who's running the thing is get rid of that. The labor.
I think in many ways labor unions, and I mean, you can hate me for saying this,
but really?
I think what happened, labor unions they reached a point where then they began to eat upon themselves. So what happened is, the union demanded good wages, and they were good wages, except that what happened is like all the other peoples, maybe these cabals, raised everything. So there was no change. You can't get ahead. Like you want, oh, let's have a more minimum wage. You know, let the minimum wage go up to $5 more or $10 more. But then the employer raises all his stuff. So the guy who's now making $20 an hour is buying just as little as he bought when he was making $5 an hour.
That's where the phrase, you can't win for losing, came into being.
It's really, and in a sense, that's like scary. Because it's not about that. It's about lowering the price of things rather than raising the wage.
Well, what Naomi Wolf points out through her book, The End of America, is the parallel manifestations of the way people are governed, being governed, treated, the press, how the press is being treated by the government, how you can't protest really anymore without a permit, and so even though it's guaranteed in the Constitution, their workaround is, well, you have to have a permit, and you have to stand on the other side of this barricade, and you can't talk so much, and you need to wear better makeup and lipstick, because right now you look like
you're being televised.
Right.
Bring in the makeup artists. Get the protesters. Yeah, they're too shiny.
Couldn't you have come with some right makeup? Ugh. Can we get another protester instead of this one here? She's totally not ready.
Wow.
But there we have.
When you seep yourself into gloom and doom, you know, it comes out of your pores. And I. It's not that I don't want to be reading about all this now. I feel like I know it exists. I know. I've been reading history books forever. The thing is that I am going to leave this planet in a short time, at least a shorter time than I've been here already. And I want to go out in joy. I mean, I want to be able to find union in that which I don't like, which I push against, to come into union with it so that I know how to act in the most creative and positive way possible.
A worthy goal. I hear you. I join you in that, and Rochelle and I are joined in that pursuit, and that's why we live and be together and practice what we preach. I hate that, having to practice it, but hey, you know.
and it's difficult, you know. Well, for those of you who are in relationships, you know, you can rub against each other every now and then in the wrong way, like petting a cat in the opposite direction.
When I feel my resistance rise up, my resistance to Rochelle rise up, I've learned to recognize it's always the same thing. It's an affront to my pride.
Yeah, me too.
And it's, the reaction is the part of me that's going, you don't talk to me.
I hear you, because mine is a little bit higher pitched, but it's pretty much.
What is yours? But I'm so grateful that I can see it now, because the minute I see it and I catch it, I can just let it go. Then it's like, no, I didn't have to put up any resistance. I didn't have to do anything about that. I could just allow it be. And so Rochelle, she's the beneficiary.
The fragmentation of my judgments is something on Thanksgiving I really wanted to get into a space where I had gratitude, and I also had desire to make my life better than it was yesterday, so to speak. And one of the things I made a vow to was to try and catch my judgments and burst them.
She bought a special judgment catcher vehicle. And she's learning, it works with pedals.
It's a laser gun of
judgments.
It works
with pedals. By the way, Rochelle and I spent Thanksgiving for the first time in many, many years, just the two of us around the table.
That's right. At first I resisted it, you know, and I felt like really bad that I wasn't with my sons. One is living now in Seattle, and the other son was with his in-laws on Thanksgiving. And but I realized that it was really beautiful. I was with the person I love more than any person on the planet,
and
other than my children and granddaughter.
And she was with me, too.
And then we were with our son, daughter, and granddaughter on the next day, and had the second day of Thanksgiving, which was quite lovely.
So, fellow grandparents, I've been listening to Daniel Sheehan's class. I took his class, basically all 20-some-odd videos. Daniel Sheehan was a lawyer, very involved in like Silkwood and some of the major court battles. He's a leading attorney, ACLU kind of guy. He's around Contra. He's been into that system. So I listened to his course, and I got a lot about it from kind of the legal angle. And of course he suggests too that there's these cabals. And
how are you spelling it? C-A-V?
C-A-V-A-L.
Cabal. Because you know cabal. You know what a cabal.
Cabal. Well, that's what I meant.
Cabal.
That's it. Yeah.
Cabal. Cabal, C-A-B-A-L.
Okay, yeah.
A cabal. A cabal is usually comes together to do mischief.
Yeah, mischief cabals.
Cabal.
So
mischief cabals.
I'm still, for some reason, drawn to all this stuff. It just could be fascination and obsessive compulsion.
I mean, looking at you and seeing what's been happening this 4 months with you going and reading all this stuff and getting involved in it, it's like it's part of your education. And I do believe that if one is going to live their life in fullness, one can't just push something under the rug. You have to see it for what it is. And the trick, of course, is not getting discouraged or despondent or depressed as a result of seeing the garbage, the machinations of greed and all that stuff being played out in the world and seeing what happens to people as the people who are not playing it out, you know, the innocent people who are being squashed as a result of it. And yet there are so many beautiful human beings on the planet who are not infected by it. We don't read about them, obviously.
They don't make good press.
No, they don't make good press, so we don't talk about it. But people live out their lives daily. You know, they do beautiful things. They have beautiful children. They raise them beautifully with beautiful values of caring for each other and taking care of each other and compassion and love. So I celebrate that 100%.
Well, I hear you, and I would like to take your celebrating of it 100%, and I want to raise you to 200%.
Go right ahead. Yeah, I hear you.
But do you call me?
I call you.
You going to raise me?
No, I'm going to call you.
Okay, I'm going to turn over my cards, and there you see each card has a card similar to it, but with often a different number or face. And that's what cards are.
I think I hear you.
I don't even hear
you. I know I don't understand one word you just said, but I did hear you speak.
See, there was a case where you could look back and say, you know, did I really need to hear that? I don't think so. It's like,
I don't know. I didn't judge that so much as like I just didn't understand it.
Well, we need to tie things up here and leave you not with misunderstanding, but we hope that we've increased your understanding or at least your curiosity and maybe laugh a little bit at our crazy circumstances. And it's easier to laugh when you know you're forever. And this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Our sponsors are
Jeremy Beads.
Jeremy Beads, our new
brother
sponsor
and fellow artist.
Yeah. And Go Raw.
Go Raw.
And Go Raw is still going. I was in the Whole Foods the other day and saw some Go Raw, and it made me just want to like go raw. But that's another story. So as we think about closing, and we hope you'll come back and listen again and tell your friends, especially your enemies.
And remember, you can hear this broadcast again on our archives and Sunday morning.
8 a.m. Pacific time. But what do people need to remember, Rochelle?
They need to remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it hurt longer and last more.
To make it last longer and hurt more.
That too.
Oh, I hear you.
I hear you.